culture, and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is the greatest nation on God's green earth, despite the fact that a lot of people have been looking forward to Nancy Pelosi offering her name to join the growing throng, it's now a 29, of Democratic members of the House of Representatives who have decided to retire, to pack it in with every kind of polling and historical analysis and historical patterns. The president's party usually does poorly, and sometimes very poorly. Obama did horribly. In 2010, that Tea Party election, right after Obama was elected, the Democrats lost 63 seats. I mean, it was bad for the Democratic side of things. And for a while, it made a real difference in the public, and the Republican Party basically became a more conservative and, for a while at least, a more unified party. Well, we're not now talking about the Trump era, but certainly the pre-Trump era and the last 6 years of the Obama administration. In any event, Nancy Pelosi is, despite her age, she will be 82 during this upcoming campaign. Nancy Pelosi made an announcement eagerly greeted by all of her supporters. Listen. Clip three.
Hello, it's Nancy. Thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you, our VIPs, our volunteers in politics, in our ongoing engagement for the people. Thank you for being a constant source of new, fresh ideas and political activism to help Democrats deliver and to defend democracy. Thank you for giving me the privilege to represent our city and our San Francisco values in the Congress. Human rights, reproductive justice, LGBTQ equality, respect for immigrants, and care for each other. When people ask me what are the three most important issues facing the Congress, I always say the same thing: our children, our children, our children. That is my why I am in Congress. For the children. This is my story, and this is my song. As you hear me say, when you're in the arena, you have to be able to take a punch or throw a punch for the children.
Doesn't that sound like you should notify CPS? Somebody says, I'm about taking a punch or throwing a punch for the children. Now, I'm not accusing Nancy Pelosi here of being a child abuser, but I don't know. The situation in the House of Representatives, the prospect of basically, and Kevin McCarthy is been criticized and attacked by the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar and Matt Gaetz and others who don't think he represents where the party should be as speaker. So what? It's either going to be Kevin McCarthy or Nancy Pelosi.
It's
almost surely. Yeah, it is pathetic. I think it almost surely will be Kevin McCarthy. But we shall see. The Republican Party has its own splits with all kinds of heated primaries coming up. And there is this from CNN's Jim Acosta. Now, you may remember during the Trump era, no one was more outspoken. He was sort of Peter Doocy to President Trump, except without the charm. I think Peter Doocy actually does a good job, and he generally asks fair questions concerning President Biden. But CNN Jim Acosta characterized a new bad guy in town, a new dictator, a new threat to the republic, as he would define it. And on CNN, he spoke about what is happening with the newly elected governor, newly installed governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, the Republican. Listen, this is clip 12.
I seem to remember Glenn Youngkin campaigning in a fleece vest in Virginia. He was running as a different kind of Republican. I was told there was going to be a vest, not a Soviet-style police state across the Potomac from Washington.
Soviet-style police state across the Potomac from Washington? Not a little bit extreme? And then speaking of a police state, there's no police state, not in Virginia, not in Washington, D.C. Americans need to calm down about some of this stuff, and maybe following one of the incidents that is worth noting from earlier this week was President Biden, who tries to keep hold of his temper most of the time. Remember, there was one point during the campaign where, well, several points during the campaign where he lost it under with ordinary people. He also does like Peter Doocy, who I mentioned before, Fox News reporter, son of Steve Doocy on the Fox and Friends. But in any event, Biden was caught on a live mic expressing his opinion much too candidly and crudely about Peter Doocy. That happened earlier this week on the live mic, and the original audio sounded like this. This is clip 5.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a...
Okay, basically, he was basically commenting on a question Doocy had asked about whether inflation was a political liability or an asset. And of course, it was meant as a, I think, a sarcastic question. But he used that term. And then later on Fox News, Doocy said that after Biden made that remark and it was broadcast, President called him to apologize. And here's what Peter Doocy said happened, which is clip 2.
For years of clips of the president and I kind of mixing it up on the campaign trail and during the transition and here at the White House, within about an hour of that exchange, he called my cell phone and he said, it's nothing. He said, nothing personal, pal. And we went back and forth and we were talking about just kind of moving forward. And I made sure to tell him that I'm always going to try to ask something different than what everybody else is asking. And he said, you've got to. And that's a quote from the president, so I'll keep doing it.
Okay, there was one thing that he said that he was a little bit upset about. I thought this was a very good line on the part of Peter Doocy. How does it feel to have the president call you a stupid son of a beep? And he said, well, you notice nobody fact-checked him on that comment, which is... And again, it provides him with a potential book title for when he will, as he inevitably will, write about his experience covering the White House. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. We will be talking coming up about these flyers blaming the pandemic on the Jewish people. Really? Yeah, really. And a response to that from various sources coming up on the Michael Medved Show.
Enough of him.
On Christmas, we haven't covered it now because it hasn't become a national thing till now, but beginning on Christmas Day, there were various parts of the country where a so-called hate group that has now been identified distributed brochures, and I don't have one of the actual brochures, but there are pictures of them. And the brochures say on them, every single aspect of the COVID agenda is Jewish. And it has a pentagram, which is associated with Satanism, and a Jewish star on one side. And then they have a list of prominent people who allegedly are responsible for controlling the COVID pandemic and all of the suffering and all of the horrors. And all of the names on that list are identified as Jewish. And they include people like Rochelle Walensky, who is the director of the CDC, who is in fact Jewish. Names of people like HHS Secretary Javier Becerra, and lists him as Jew. He's not Jewish at all, and he has nothing Jewish about him. And I looked it up. He is a believing, active Roman Catholic. And in any event, it goes down, and there's a great deal of concern about this. It says in the New York Daily News, all the names were identified as Jewish or transgender. And by the way, Secretary Becerra of the Health and Human Services, no, he's not transgender either. The Miami Beach Police Department said it was aware of the flyers. Detectives are actively investigating to determine their origin. We've increased patrols in our neighborhoods and also at our religious institutions. There's no place for hate in our community. It will not be tolerated. These flyers are the kind that they put in a little plastic baggie with little rocks so they don't blow away, or so you just can't kick them away. You actually kind of have to pick them up and throw them away. And again, it's this is identified with a Springfield, Missouri is one of the cities. San Francisco is one of the cities that... In Springfield, Missouri, local newspaper, this Christmas Day, some Springfieldians woke up not to presents, but to an anti-Semitic flyer. The flyers were left at the front steps of houses in central Springfield sometime during the night of Christmas Eve. What a great way to spend Christmas Eve. At least 24 flyers were found for several blocks in a neighborhood near the Bass Pro Shops. This is Springfield, Missouri. The anti-Semitic flyers attempt to tie the Jewish faith to false conspiracies about the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, initially, there had been some effort to tie this to QAnon because some of the material they were that they were basically featuring was material that had been associated with QAnon. Since that time, it's been more clear that these flyers and are made up by a group called the Goyim Defense League. Goyim is the word in Yiddish, the language of Eastern European Jewry, to refer to people who are not Jewish. Actually, it comes from the word Goy is a word in Biblical Hebrew, which just means nation. It's so the when you talk about Goyim, you're talking about the nations of the world. And the idea being that somehow there is this secret cabal going on to actually torment and torture and oppress people and to build power. We even had a caller the other day who believed that Bill Gates was part of this. Bill Gates, by the way, not Jewish. I'd be proud if he were, actually. I think he's in many ways a somebody who has obviously achieved a great deal in his life and given a great deal of his wealth away for charity. But there's a headline in Florida today, hate group known as Goyim Defense League behind racist banners on Brevard County. They have a TV platform, apparently. According to the ADL, the banner display, which had banners about Jewish responsibility for COVID-19, The banner display last weekend was part of a December 18th challenge issued by the Goyim Defense League leader, John Medideo, to followers to participate in racist actions over the weekend. In a video calling for racist displays, Menendeo promised whomever made the news would get $100 in the Goyim TV shop. In his video, Menendeo told the followers that these events were going to all feel good. By the way, the Goyim TV shop, I'm not eager to go there myself, but apparently they sell things like there's a history of the right white race called March of the Titans, and which features what they believe to be all these Aryan heroes. The president of the Anti-Defamation League was recently on TV talking about where we are right now. And he said, in part, I've never seen a moment like this. On a report that there are over 100 candidates for office who have open ties to extremism, Jonathan Greenblatt came on Newsroom on CNN to discuss a new report published by the ADL, Anti-Defamation League's Office on Extremism. And Greenblatt said that considering we're already living in a moment when we've seen a large rise in anti-Semitic incidents, double the acts of harassment, vandalism, and violence than we did just a few years ago. And then this weekend we had these anti-Semitic flyers drop in six different states. The European Union leaders today, according to the AP, pledged to confront the rise of anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial witnessed during the coronavirus pandemic on the eve of the annual commemoration of the liberation of Auschwitz. The European Council President Charles Michel said that the lessons of the Holocaust are now more relevant than ever. First, because Jewish people feel threatened, and they are threatened, he said. They are even attacked in Europe just because they are Jewish. We do not accept this. We will never accept it. He spoke at an online event organized by the European Jewish Congress. The point about this is Holocaust denial is crazy enough in the United States, but in Europe, where people's parents and grandparents were there, they witnessed it. There are films of the bodies, the idea that the Holocaust didn't happen when there were, for instance, not just 3 million, yes, 3 million Polish Jews, there are 3 million Polish Catholics who were liquidated by the Nazis. The entire thing is mad. 1-800-955-1776. We'll be right back on the Medved Show. Michael Medved Show, one of the factors that I think creates this idea of the fear and the resentment and the horror that Americans have right now about the direction of our country has to do with the headline. It's actually a repeated headline. We've had it several times. Murders in U.S. cities near record highs in 2021. That's just last year. Wall Street Journal, U.S. cities are facing a sustained surge in homicides as police departments and mayor's offices tally up crime statistics for 2021 and launch new programs in 2022. Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York, is doing that in a particularly conspicuous way and launch new 2022 programs designed to curb gun violence. Several cities set new records for murders last year. Philadelphia, over 500. Portland, Oregon. Louisville, Kentucky. Albuquerque, New Mexico had their deadliest years ever on record in history. Philadelphia, the nation's sixth largest city, had 562 homicides, surpassing by far by 62 homicides, the 500 homicides
level record set in 1990. Criminologists and local law enforcement officials don't agree on the reasons for the surge in violent crime. Some cities cite the COVID-19 pandemic and its stress. Some point to what they see as frayed relations between law enforcement and black communities after police killings, such as that of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Others blame bail reform and moves in some cities to bring fewer prosecutions. Homicide rose by 4% in 22 major American cities through the third quarter of 2021. And it goes on. But part of it also is the general sense when you have so much talk and so many experts warning about oncoming civil war, and even reports about the increase in anti-Semitic incidents. Most of those incidents do not involve things like taking hostages. And we talked yesterday about a homeless individual who took hostages at knife point in several stores, in a Fred Meyer store in Burien, and a Target store in West Seattle. And this is different. The hostage taking in Colleyville, Texas was real. There was a gun involved. And people were held for 11 hours for the crime of trying to go to services on a Saturday morning. And it all gives rise to, well, this caught my attention, and I don't think it's gotten the national attention it deserves, is the Justice Department last week, Friday, charged a Texas man with publicly calling for the assassination of Georgia's election officials. And he actually did this on the day before the riot against the Capitol building. The case is the first brought by the Justice Department's Election Threats Task Force, an agency that was created last summer to address threats against election and election workers. Federal prosecutors accused the man, whose name is Chad Christopher Stark, he's 54, of Leander, Texas, of calling for, quote, Georgia patriots, unquote, to put a bullet right into the head of Georgia election official that the indictment refers to as Official A. Quote, Georgia patriots, it's time for us to take back our state from these lawless, treasonous traitors, Mr. Stark wrote, according to the indictment. It's time to invoke our Second Amendment right. It's time to put a bullet in the treasonous Chinese. And then he basically names Official A, who is not being identified in the indictment. Then we work our way down to Official B, to local and federal corrupt judges. Mr. Stark was charged with one count of communicating interstate threats. The Craigslist posting came at a moment of intense political pressure against election officials in battleground states. Mr. Trump had phoned Mr. Raffensperger, who was the Georgia Secretary of State, last year and demanded that he find nearly 12,000 votes to overturn Mr. Biden's victory in Georgia. The posting was published on January 5th, a day before the Trump-inspired crowd attacked the United States Capitol building in an effort to block Congress from certifying Mr. Biden as the next president. And there's much more, actually, about the threats against election officials, and particularly in Georgia. Is that something that shows enthusiasm? Or is it something that goes with the idea that mental illness and politics have become unfortunately connected? And this goes on all sides, And some of the mental illness that you see is something we talked about with Professor Kevin Smith earlier this week. He's a professor at University of Nebraska, and he basically looks at a survey that shows that political involvement has actually created and sustained some real health consequences for people. And that kind of health consequence includes depression, sometimes suicidal ideation, sometimes violence. And this also goes to some of the Jonathan Greenblatt was talking about the explosion of anti-Semitism, which is on all sides. It's not one side in politics or another. There's another story today. Robert Keith Packer was photographed wearing a black hoodie that said Camp Auschwitz on it. He's pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor. He is one of the people who stormed the Capitol building. It also bore the image, his T-shirt, his hoodie, of a human skull and the words, "Work brings freedom," which was the word on the top of the gate at Auschwitz, "Arbeit macht frei," work makes you free, as he joined the mob of that overran police and breached the building in an attempt to stop Congress from certifying Joe Biden's win in the 2020 election. The difficulty here is there are people who look at the photographs of people wearing Camp Auschwitz hoodies and say, well, they were just got a little bit excessive, but these are patriotic people who were trying to stand up for something. And again, is there anyone out there that wouldn't hold it against someone on any other cause, if they were proven by videotape to have attacked police officers? I mean, one of the things that certainly most patriotic Americans, and I mean people on the right and people in the center, I don't know if people on the left have the same sense of patriotism always, but for anyone with any decency or balance, the idea, it should be enough, no? To say that if you are going to be throwing things and battling with police officers, that's not a patriotic act, ever. Not if you're with BLM or you're with Antifa or if you're with Oath Keepers or the Three Percenters or the Proud Boys. 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. More on the Supreme Court appointment to come and other controversies on the MedVet Show. Michael Medved Show, it is one of those things that's very gratifying to see that right now I believe, and I'm writing about this, that the most profound disagreement that underlies so many of the battles that we face in the political scene, the underlying disagreement, the underlying distinction has to do with whether we should look upon our country with pride and with gratitude or look at America with shame and guilt. And when you look at the battle of over criminal race theory, I actually didn't mean to say criminal race theory, but I did. Critical race theory and a more honest, full, and contextual approach to American history, that's what that battle is about. It's what the battle over reparations or really over preferential treatment and quotas and education and elsewhere has all come back down to that idea. Should we feel guilty or grateful for our country? And part of the reason that I'm so proud of this MedHead Plus offer that we've been able to make, which gives you access to all of our American history programs, all of them, to download whenever you want, to stream whenever you want, you can do that at a cost of 22 cents a day. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's a low price, but high information and inspiration, I hope. Try it. Go to our website. Go to medvedhistorystore.com. Look at the history programs we have on offer. We're talking about generating some more and some new ones coming up. And join us. Become a MedHead Plus member, which also gives you access to this show 24/7, commercial free. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or MedVed Plus, MedHead Plus at medvedhistorystore.com. All right. One of the things that is, it seems to me important to get clear about this discussion that we're about to launch about various Supreme Court nominees. It's very, very difficult to make the case, and I don't think liberals ever made it successfully, that someone like Amy Coney Barrett or Neil Gorsuch is not worthy of being on the Supreme Court. You look at their background, and honestly, impeccable. And I didn't mention Brett Kavanaugh because the best they could do against him was an accusation from high school and an accusation from college, both of which I am convinced were totally false, that he denied completely, but that he got drunk at social occasions, apparently, or had something to drink, and behaved badly. The first charge against him was when he was 15. I mean, really, when you do that, what you're unable to actually acknowledge is that you're talking about someone with a remarkable record academically, a remarkable record of achievement, community participation. One of the things that was interesting was reading about Justice Breyer, who is from San Francisco and basically went to Lowell High School, which is the academically enriched advanced high school in San Francisco. And he was an Eagle Scout. Do you know that? And basically he went through this entire lifetime doing a good job at everything that he's been asked to do. And the fact that he is not, and he's no far out crazy liberal, but the fact that he got almost unanimous Republican support in addition to unanimous Democratic support when he was confirmed after Bill Clinton appointed him, could we go back to that, please, a little bit? And recognizing the essential fact that the Supreme Court should not, repeat, should not be a political position. And I think that Justice Roberts has been very strong in trying to convey that. And when you look at a list of some of these black female judges that are apparently on Joe Biden's short list, judges like Judge Kruger, Leandra Kruger, who is on the California Supreme Court, and others, you again get the same kind of impression you could get from Antonin Scalia when he was nominated for the court, and he was confirmed almost unanimously, despite the fact that his conservative political and legal principles, his belief in originalism, in the Constitution actually meaning what it says, that didn't disqualify him against Democrats until they had this horrible effort to disqualify Robert Bork, who was an outstanding human being, an outstanding legal scholar, and again, someone of unbelievably impressive background. And assuming that President Biden nominates someone who has no hint of scandal or corruption or wrongdoing, has nothing but glowing reports. Do you remember some of the people who testified, who had known Brett Kavanaugh and known the good things he had done in his community and coaching his girls' basketball team and being just a very patriotic and decent American, maybe, just maybe, both sides, but particularly the Democratic side, hoping for appropriate treatment for their nominee when that nominee comes forward, and hoping that that nominee is worthy of the words that I'm speaking now, we can move the whole confirmation process away from being a partisan fight fest. I mean, it's just pathetic. And this is an opportunity in the next couple of months, because I think the Democrats are going to try very hard to get someone nominated and confirmed so there's a 9-member court so that it is fully functioning, to get that done maybe before the end of the session when Justice Breyer is going to, it is expected, terminate his participation. Meanwhile, don't terminate, investigate. There's a movie with just 2 actors in it, much of the time talking to the screen, that's remarkable. It's out on Blu-ray right now. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Acclaimed actors James McAvoy and Sharon Horgan play a British couple struggling to keep their relationship alive in the face of a pandemic and a lockdown in the riveting drama Together, now on Blu-ray.
They've just announced the lockdown.
We're getting through this.
I don't want to go back to normal.
And this remarkable film is far better than normal, with 2 superb performers seemingly trapped in their own kitchen over the course of more than a year and oscillating wildly between expressed hatred for one another and deep abiding love. With just 2 characters addressing the audience as if we were a visitor in their home, director Stephen Daldry, who previously created Billy Elliot, The Hours, and episodes of The Crown, avoids any hint of claustrophobia or gimmickry. It's rated R for loads of harsh language and vivid descriptions of death and suffering, but it's ultimately a profoundly uplifting film and probably one of the best of this year. 4 stars for Together. And it did make it onto my best of the year list. This is not a movie, but it's a worst of the year kind of story. The Black Lives Matter chapter in Washington, D.C., just expressed indignation that police officers who were shot in the line of duty are automatically treated as heroes. This after an officer was shot and wounded Sunday night in Northwest D.C. If you are making a sacrifice on behalf of public order and safety, isn't that heroic? We'll talk to a real American hero, Andy McCarthy, next time. Andy, former prosecutor and legal scholar and writer, on the mechanics of this Supreme Court appointment that is going to be preoccupying so many of our lives. We'll also be speaking of the Washington Policy Center about this new bill that would prohibit and fine any landlord for even inquiring about a criminal history. Why is that not relevant? Wouldn't you want to know not living next to some dangerous ex-con? You have a right to know, it seems to me, in this greatest nation on God's green earth.